Presentation is from Dr. Beth Barstow, and she will be speaking. I'll tell you in a moment.
And thank you for elevating me to a doctor.
Oh, you're welcome. On redesigning a health center to promote participation in physical exercise by older adults with vision loss.
All right, we're going to take a drastic turn here and talk about rehabilitation and older adults. And specifically, this is a project that we carried out in a fitness center in Birmingham, Alabama. Before I start, I have no relationships to disclose, but I'd like to acknowledge Mary Warren, who is my colleague on this project, and the Lakeshore Foundation of Alabama and the EyeSight Foundation of Alabama, who funded the project. Today, I'm going to talk about three distinct things. First of all, how you educate and train health education and health wellness professionals to successfully work with individuals with visual impairment. I will talk about how to evaluate and modify community environments for people with low vision, and also how to evaluate and modify print materials. And even though this project look at a fitness facility, the application is broader and can be applied to all community organizations or settings. The overall project goal for this was to increase participation of older adults with low vision in regular physical activity. And it was a collaboration between the UAB Occupational Therapy Department and the Lakeshore Foundation of Alabama. And the Lakeshore Foundation of Alabama, some of you might have seen the movie Murderball, which was about the United States quad rugby team. That is where they filmed this this movie. It is an Olympic and a Paralympic training facility, as well as a fitness facility for individuals with disabilities and chronic conditions. And so you might ask, why was this project important? Well, they had, at this time, 1,785 members, but only 29 had come in with a diagnosis of visual impairment. And so they, as an organization, felt that they weren't recruiting people with visual impairment to their facility or retaining them. And so they wanted to increase their services for this particular population. We all know the importance of physical activity. We all know the benefits of it. And I think we all know that we don't exercise enough as Americans. And 12.8% of adults are completely physically inactive. And this was a 2005 BRFIS survey. When we look at individuals with disabilities, the numbers become even more drastic. 25.6 individuals with disability don't participate in any physical activity on a daily basis, and about 50% don't get the recommended daily exercise. And we know that these individuals are more prone to secondary health conditions and chronic health conditions. So why low vision? We heard a lot today about the prevalence of low vision. It is a permanent condition that can't be corrected by eyeglasses or surgery, but the hallmark is these individuals have remaining vision. They're not blind. They have remaining vision that they can use to complete their activities of daily living. The key here is that with environments, they can either facilitate or they can inhibit performance for people with visual impairment. And some environments facilitate performance better than others. There are many, many people with low vision in this country, and many of them are age-related conditions. We heard earlier from Asel, I think your name was. And ironically, these conditions, a lot of them relate to health management. So diabetic retinopathy, obviously, can be controlled by blood glucose levels if they're controlled, and diet and exercise are part of that. And there's no cure. There's cure for cataracts with intraocular lens placement, but in developing countries, that surgery isn't as available, and it is a leading cause of low vision in developing countries. And the numbers are increasing as the baby boomers increase, so we have this large population that are in need of services. And in older adults with low vision, they not only will have low vision, but two-thirds are going to have a secondary condition, such as arthritis or another chronic condition that will limit participation. For this project, we used the precede-proceed model, which is a planning model that takes you very carefully through a needs assessment, through implementation, and through an evaluation process. The literature told us that we needed to use a multidimensional approach to the project and not just look at the built environment. And using this model really helped us target the needs of this specific population. So our data collection for our needs assessment was as follows. We did meet with key organization administrators and reviewed organizational policies. They had a strong mission to service people with chronic conditions and disabilities, but why weren't they serving and retaining their members with visual impairment? And we needed to know if their policies, their knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs supported it, and indeed they did. There were not any barriers there. We observed members who had low vision and who didn't have low vision within the environment to see if there was any outright safety concerns, and also watched the staff that administered programs, the aerobics programs, the aquatics programs, interact with those individuals and what kind of instructions they were delivering to those folks. We did look at all the organizational printed materials that persons with low vision may encounter, from web-based materials to written materials in the facility. And then we reviewed data, both organizational, state, and national, to see if their numbers of visual impaired persons participating in their facility were low, and they in fact were. And then we did a survey of staff knowledge and attitudes. Did they feel equipped to work with individuals with visual impairment? And indeed, they did not. So based on the data, we came up with three project objectives. The first was that we would increase the knowledge and attitudes of the individual staff members to feel like they were more equipped to work with individuals with visual impairment. We would hope that consumers with visual impairment or members within the facility could navigate the building more independently and safely, and then participate in whatever program they choose independently and safely. And based on that, the three activities for the program or the project became staff education and training, modification of printed materials, and completing a comprehensive environmental assessment. In terms of the staff education and the training, we knew it wouldn't be enough just to disseminate the information, and so we very carefully thought about how we would do this. And what we did is we did 2 one-hour educational sessions where we went over characteristics and demographics of persons with low vision. We went over diagnoses and techniques that they could use in their individual jobs to work with individuals with visual impairment. We did incorporate experiential learning. So we made them wear simulator glasses and partake in activities that they asked their clients to do in the center so they had an idea of what it really felt like, what they were asking them to do. We did hands-on training and techniques such as sighted guide, and any example we used right from the Lakeshore Foundation environment. To make sure the information was integrated post, we returned 1 month later and had follow-up focus group meetings with the different staffs, the aquatic staff and the fitness staff. And consistently, we found the main barrier to implementing what we had taught them was they couldn't retain the information. We had simply gone over too much. And so they requested some cheat sheets or cues to action cards. So we put together exercise precautions, what limitations they might see with a specific diagnosis, such as AMD versus glaucoma. In terms of modification of print materials, we basically changed every print material they had in the facility, from admission to discharge to homework they sent home with the client to marketing, and made recommendations for their web as well. None of them were as visible as they could be for persons with visual impairment. So increasing font size and leading, a mixture of upper and lowercase block print without any serif font, maximizing contrast, black on white print or white on black, and then reducing the reading level, not for literacy sake, though that was an important part of it, because people with visual impairment, many have field deficits, and when you reduce the reading level, the words become shorter, and many times they can read them better than they can read words that are of longer length. And we trained staff how to modify print materials, hopefully to sustain that once we left the facility. Here's an example of a statement they had on their admission form. Has a physician ever told you, or are you aware that you have high cholesterol level? And it was written in this script. And so we simply, you know, recommended, do you have high cholesterol? And changed the font so it was more visible. In terms of the environmental assessment, it was a three-step process. We did a member survey, we did staff meetings or focus groups, and we did a comprehensive evaluation of the built environment. In terms of the member survey, after receiving IRB approval, we disseminated it to the members, and we offered it in standard print, large print, as well as having a reader available if the person couldn't read the survey themselves. We had 32 respondents, so there was only 29 that were admitted to the facility with the, you know, the admitting criteria of low vision. So we knew right away they weren't capturing everyone that they could, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But you can see the majority of the respondents were older adults, 87 years of age or older. they had been participating in fitness programs in the facility less than 5 years, but almost 80% came to the facility several days per week. So not surprising, since they were great participators at this facility, the majority reported that the built environment was visible and accessible. But even though they reported this, there were several consistent areas that they reported limited participation, and those were reading directional signage and educational materials. They felt like there were several areas of the building where lighting was very poor, one of them in a very high-risk area, the locker room, where they changed for their aquatics class. And then they had difficulty seeing and operating the fitness equipment machines. The follow-up staff meetings really confirmed what the member survey results were, except that the staff were able to add some additional areas of concern from working with their consumers on a daily basis. We followed up with a comprehensive environmental assessment where we did a walkthrough of the building and looked at the environmental qualities, and we chose to use a non-standardized assessment after looking at the standardized assessments that are available, such as the AIM-FREE for persons with visual impairment in fitness centers. None really applied specifically to our setting, and so we developed our own form. And based on that, we made recommendations to the facility. Here's an example of some of the things we found within the Lakeshore Foundation. With environments, there's going to be features that facilitate participation and some that impede. So the one on the left obviously is more facilitating, with the dark blue handrails and marking on the edge of the stairs to approach the pool, where the one on the right is less facilitatory because there is little contrast between the edge of the water and actually the pool deck, which could be a hazard for their participants. For our study, we looked at the physical context as well as the instructional, because there were so many activities that these individuals were participating in. It was important to look at how the instruction was taking place. In terms of the visibility rules, and this is our structure for our environmental assessment, we looked at contrast, and especially contrast of key support surfaces, like the last photo you saw of the pool, moving from stairs to curbs to edges where there was a safety concern. We looked at illumination. We did a light meter for all of the areas and compared them to the engineering standards, but knowing well that the recommendations weren't high enough illuminations for most of the consumers in that facility with low vision. But we looked at evenness of illumination, shadows, glare, maximum lumens, and those sort of things. We wanted to make sure background pattern was minimized for individuals with low vision. That's like static on a radio. It just kind of hides everything. We wanted to make sure things were organized and big enough for them to be seen. And here's some more examples. So in the upper picture on the upper right, you can see they have large signage, but it doesn't contrast well at all from the background it is on. And on the left, it's a congregate area and a lot of natural lighting, so we needed to do our study during the day and the night because they had programming in both. But look at all the glare that it created off the support surfaces. And then the picture in the lower right-hand corner is of the locker room, so you can see immediately how poor the lighting was in this area of the building. Some more pictures. Obviously, fitness equipment doesn't have large print buttons on it, and so they were difficult for consumers to see. The middle on the top is lockers, and so those were really difficult once a person put their clothes in a locker to find their locker after, unless they used a cognitive strategy. The lifeguard stand blends in with the background because it doesn't contrast. And in the lower right, here's an example of pattern where it kind of hides the shower, and that was a shower for the consumers. The lower left was an example actually of good organization and good visibility that they used in their aerobic section, where they put everything under the chair on the consistent basis so it was familiar to the clients. For each area, we made recommendations, and we tried to recommend high cost and low cost, recognizing that mostly the low cost recommendations would be most feasible for the facility. But for instance, with the chairs that didn't contrast well with the floor here, you know, replacing the chairs would be the high cost, where possibly painting or covering would be the low cost solution. In terms of instructional context, we did some observation as well as on the member survey, asked some questions, and what we consistently saw, it was difficult for the consumers to see arm gestures. So the woman in the upper right that is wearing a high contrast color in her bottom, and you can see her bottom well, but you can see the arms blend into the background. And so it was difficult for the members to see the exercise movements that they had to follow. And also, most of these places were very large, noisy areas, and consumers couldn't use auditory cues to help them when vision was absent. So some of our recommendations were to wear contrasting clothing on the arms and legs, a waterproof mic, remove background clutter, and use sparse visual language. They were using a lot of nonverbal communication to relay to the consumers what they had to do next in the exercise sequence. And so we did some education on how to use sparse visual language to describe what they were doing. In terms of the impact that we made, we did a staff survey, and 100% were able to identify that they had increased awareness of the needs and challenges of older adults with vision loss, specifically in their facility, and that 100% were able to list techniques that they had already applied, and this was 6 months after the project was completed. We still would like to do a member survey, but unfortunately the foundation has been trying to get a grant to implement the environmental modifications that we recommended, but they have not been successful yet, so we haven't gone back and done the member survey yet. In terms of referral and retention data, did that change? What happened with that is we haven't collected enough data on referral and retention yet. We recommended that they change the way they categorized their admission data. So in terms of referral, what was happening before is that a person could only check one box as far as admitting criteria. So if they didn't have an age-related, and if a vision loss was their only condition, say if they had CVA or Parkinson's or another diagnosis that could cause low vision, they could only mark that box, and so vision loss wasn't coming up. And so what they did is they changed their admission criteria, and they can check more than one box and more accurately track the individuals with vision loss in their program. And we realized that the members that we surveyed, there was a reason that they stayed. So we don't know with who they lost. Why did they lose members? So they started to track why they lost members and surveyed them, why they didn't come back to the facility, to see if those with visual impairment, it was something related to instruction or the built environment. So preliminary, the data is positive for us in how we change staff knowledge, attitudes, and awareness, and there is a commitment to the techniques and strategies that we taught them. The facility also committed to hiring a full-time person after this project that specifically works with individuals with visual impairment in programming, which was very positive. Definitely some limitations are that we did not use objective standardized outcome measures for the assessment of the built environment or the surveys. And it likely would have been more helpful to do pre and post surveys of the members on what they felt the perception of the staff awareness was versus just self-report of the staff themselves. That's it.